Hello everyone, thanks for having me here. Today we're going to talk about retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, where it works, where it starts breaking, and whether knowledge graphs can help us with that. A couple of words about myself. My name is Mikita Kimarski. I'm a technical co-founder of a startup where we do AI agents for autonomous negotiations in procurement. So I've had a chance to explore different LLM-based architectures, including RAG and its extensions. Let's imagine a common scenario. You have a large knowledge base of unstructured documents, for instance, company policies. You would like to ask questions and get answers based on these documents. You, as a solution, you configured a RAG pipeline on top of that. First, everything looks great. You ask simple questions, get valid responses, but then questions become more complex. Questions that require connecting multiple documents, questions about contradictions, or about how something evolved over time. And suddenly, RAG cannot address that. This is what leads us to GraphRAG. But before talking about limitations, let's first align on what RAG means at all. So I'll call the default implementation vanilla RAG in order to distinguish it from its extensions. So the idea is simple. You have a large unstructured knowledge base. You want large language model to reason on top of that, but you cannot pass all the knowledge base just because LLM's context window is limited. So you decide to split that text into chunks, and then on each question, you retrieve top k most similar chunks and pass them only to the large language model to serve as a context to answer your question. So for many cases, this approach works, but that's why it became so popular. But the problems start when questions stop being local. For example, questions that require combining information from multiple documents. Questions that depend on relationships between entities. Global queries, like what are the main themes in this data? Obviously, it requires high-level view on the whole data set, not the separate chunks. Questions dealing with trying to spot contradictions, for instance. You may ask which documents disagree or contradict to each other, or questions related to temporal reasoning. Again, chunks of data, you do not capture what time they are relevant at or maybe invalid at. This is where knowledge graphs come in. GraphRAG is an umbrella term for all these solutions that try to augment vanilla RAG with knowledge graphs. So the idea is simple. Maybe if we add structure, entities, relationships, maybe cluster these entities, generate summaries of those clusters, we can recover the reasoning that vanilla RAG lacks. Conceptually, GraphRAG follows a pipeline similar to vanilla RAG, but with much more going on under the hood. We can roughly split it into three stages. Building a knowledge graphs from your unstructured data, typically text, retrieving relevant subgraphs to be used as a context for answering your question, and the final question generation using that context. From the outside, it still looks like ask a question, get an answer. However, internally, it's much more complex and more expensive, obviously. By the way, there is an open catalog of GraphRAG patterns. You may be interested to take a look at it. Let's consider some of the main open source GraphRAG solutions available today. It's not an exhaustive list. I have picked some actively maintained solutions which focus on different query types. Microsoft GraphRAG and Llama Index both cover the whole RAG pipeline from the building of the knowledge graph up to the generation of the answer, while Graphiti covers only knowledge graph building and context retrieval, leaving the responsibility of setting up LLM reasoning on top of that context and generating an answer to you. I picked two text corpora for testing. Christmas Carol as a static knowledge base and some toy data set with synthetic events to serve as an evolving knowledge base. Let's start with Microsoft GraphRec. The main promise here is an ability to answer global queries, like what are the main topics in this data. It works by extracting arbitrary entities and relationships and clustering them into hierarchical communities, generating a summary of each community. It creates multiple abstraction layers, like even summaries of summaries, which allows that system to get a high-level view of the whole data set or separate clusters, and thus answer these global queries. However, it comes with some significant constraints. First of all, you cannot enforce an ontology here. In other words, entity and relationship types you would like to use. It's arbitrary in GraphRec. Incremental updates are not supported. So as new data arrives, you would need to re-index, and it's very expensive in GraphRec. We'll see that later. And also, it's worth mentioning that tracing exact source documents that contributed to the answer is also difficult here, because the answer is generated out of the summaries that comprise a lot of different documents, or even summaries of summaries, as I said. In addition to that, it lacks some operational features. For instance, you cannot configure persistence layer, indexes stored as parquet files locally. So I indexed both Christmas Carol on both Microsoft GraphRec and VanillaRec. And even on that relatively small data set, GraphRec consumed a lot of inference tokens for indexing, while obviously VanillaRec requires no inference, only embedding the chunks, and took some significant time. And moreover, more importantly, queries. So they consume much more tokens as well and take a lot of time as well. So the local query was who participated in the family dinner, and the global query was what's the central lesson of the story. And again, if your new data arrives, you need to re-index, and that's, again, indexing costs. You spend the same tokens. They use some caching inside, but some steps, but community summaries should be recomputed, and that spends the most of the tokens and the most of the time. Also, an important part, query types in GraphRec are explicit, and you're supposed to choose them manually. Of course, you can try different query types for your question and compare the results. Local and global are two original query types. Drift, they added that later. I haven't experimented much with that. It's some expanded version of the local query. And basic is the VanillaRec, just for your convenience to compare the results. I mentioned the provenance tracking, so tracing the documents, specific documents that contribute to the answer. I just wanted to show how GraphRec returns that. Their CLI returns it embedded in text answer. You can see its indexes of the entities in Parquet files. Obviously, it requires parsing here, but their Python API returns it as structured data, and you can use it straight away. Let's move on to the next solution, which is Llama Index. It's a scaffolding library for REC pipelines. It includes interfaces and different implementations for data ingestion, indexing, retrieval, and persistence layer. And among other index implementations, they have property graph index, which is another GraphRec implementation. It's highly customizable, supports different query approaches, and allows you to enforce specific entity and query types. Therefore, it's not designed specifically for some particular query type, but is supposed to be used as a configurable solution. And it's mainly a Python library. They have a TypeScript version as well, but it's limited. For instance, property graph index is absent there. I did the same comparison with Llama Index. It consumed much less resources than GraphRec, but still much more than VanillaRec. But as I said, it's configurable. You may come up with different results. So the advantage here is more control. You configure what to extract, how to build relationships, etc. Another interesting solution is Graphiti. It focuses on dynamic and temporally aware knowledge graphs. What does temporally aware mean here? Graphiti deals with events, they call it episodes, having an occurrence time for each event. It allows them to use that occurrence time to answer temporal questions. And as new data comes in, instead of overwriting or simply overwriting old facts, it rather invalidates them with a timestamp to preserve that historical accuracy. And that allows you potentially to answer questions such as what was true at some point of time in the past, or what changed between that point of time and now. Testing Graphiti on a static data set like a Christmas Carol would be meaningless. To properly evaluate temporal reasoning, we would need some data set of events that evolve over time, where facts change, get invalidated. And unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to prepare a fully representative data set of that kind. Instead, I just for proof of concept, I created a small data set of events describing a fictional employee's career path. However, even with this simple data set, the default Graphiti setup did not produce correct results. For example, when I asked who is the employee's current manager, Graphiti returned a relationship it considered current, even though, according to the event history, the employee had already been promoted and reports to a different manager. However, it's a default setup. I did not use any ontology, did not enforce specific entity relationship types. It used some small large language models. So I assume the quality issues stem from that, and therefore there is room for experiment and improvement. The main risk here also is performance. Every new event triggers an LLM-driven knowledge graph update. Even on small events from my toy dataset, an average ingestion for one event took 15 seconds, which is a lot. And given the use case they describe as the main one, some real-time events, it looks like it's feasible only for slowly changing data. But if you have some high volume event streams, then it's probably not feasible. So you would need too much inference resources on that, and latency is crazy. And query time, it's about excluding any reasoning. So it's just about retrieving the relevant nodes or entities or subgraph. You can configure that. Graphiti allows some search configuration, including re-ranking methods. And that's just what they claim. I received on that toy data set similar results, but it may be not representative due to the size of the data set. And at this point, an obvious question arises. How do we actually compare these systems? So cost and latency are easy to compare, but what about answer quality with different query types on different data sets? And it turns out there is still lack of adopted benchmarks. Some benchmarks have recently been released but haven't gained an adoption yet, like GraphRec Bench, where they do where they compare different methods with quantitative metrics on different query types, exactly four, I listed them, or Microsoft Benchmark QED, where they do pairwise comparison, focusing mostly on local versus global queries. But the point is that in practice, you would need to set up your own evaluations on your own data and queries you care about to understand the actual performance. There are also other open source GraphRec solutions we haven't considered today that apply different techniques. You may be interested to look at it as well. So what can we conclude? Vanilla Rec is simple, cheap, and effective in some cases, until reasoning becomes structural or global. GraphRec approaches genuinely extend what's possible, but introduce significant costs, complexity, and operational risk. There is no universally best solution, and without standardized benchmarks, adopting GraphRec blindly is dangerous. And the only reliable path today is evaluation on your own data with your own questions. Thank you for your attention. If you are experimenting with RAC, its extensions, please send me a message. I'll be happy to answer your questions or participate in the discussion. Okay. The question is, what RAC solutions do I apply at my company, in my projects? So currently, we do not use RAC for our current solution. But as a startup, we iterated with different ideas. And one of our products was an anti-corruption copilot, which was intended to spot corruption risks in governmental bills. And there we applied Llama Index to design a graph with clauses and connections between these clauses to enable, for instance, you have references to another clause. And you need, if you deal with chunks only, there is some reference like in clause 5.1, it's stated that something. And you do not know what is in that clause. And Knowledge Graph allowed us to model that relationships between clauses and sections of the document. But unfortunately, that project was decommissioned due to lack of funding. And now we work on autonomous negotiations. There is no RAC, at least now.
Thank you. Yes, just a quick question. The embedding city used for which data type and which dimensionality?
The question is, embeddings are used which data type and which
dimensionality.
Okay, it was. It's not open source. It's OpenAI text embedding small, and dimensionality is the default one. If I'm not mistaken, 1048 dimensions. That one.
Yeah.
And comparison, like you saw, the numbers were rather rough, but I did not mean. That to make it representative to some millisecond accuracy, I wanted just to bring some sense of what to expect at all from these solutions. I tried to use similar large language models, GPT-5 Nano. It's not a commercial. I mean, the quality is another. But yeah, just to make it representative of costs, so that the same encoder is used and the same inference speed approximately. So the question is how to perform, how to build the graph effectively. So chunk.
Yeah, because I experimented that, for example, small chunks are better than bigger one, and something similar, but maybe.
But what solution have you used? Microsoft GraphRec, or you applied some different?
I experimented with Microsoft.
On static knowledge base.
Unfortunately,
I haven't performed too much experiments on that. So I wanted to see the rough performance again, but I haven't applied Microsoft GraphRack in production. I just haven't a use case for that. But what we lean towards, I don't know if it's correct, but we rather use long context windows large models to capture more rather than chunking it on small chunks, just in order to capture more context. When you start chunking, when you do more, come up with smaller chunks, you kind of lose that context, right? So the bigger the chunk, the more accuracy of the extraction. But again, it's more expensive since you have larger, you should use larger model, which is consumes more. GraphRack is a, let's say, it's not configurable. So you pass the unstructured knowledge base, unstructured documents, text especially, and it does everything under the hood. So, yeah, could you repeat the question? Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, because I also implemented a custom graph without any framework.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The topics, I use a semantic distance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you did something similar, maybe not.
Not really, but GraphRack, they apply Leyden clustering technique. So maybe you can cluster not based on semantics, but rather on distance on the graph. I mean connectivity between nodes.
Yeah.
GraphRack, if I'm not mistaken, it uses the same approach, so maybe it would be more effective.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a simple rag.
Yeah, exactly. But you get summaries on top of clusters.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.